All right, friends, welcome back to Fide Sriracha with my dear friend Sarah Beatty, who co-hosts this wild and crazy adventure with me. Our last thought, so to summarize, where have we been? We've talked a little bit about Christ. Who is he in our lives? We talked about the church. Who is she in relationship to Jesus, in relationship to ourselves? We talked about the liturgy of the hours, which is an expression of the church's liturgy spread out through space and time. Talked about the Holy Rosary, scripture on beads. Talked about the study of sacred scripture, the different approaches. Lack of information is not a problem at this time. So the next big topic we want to just discuss here as two mothers with large families and a lot to do is this notion of daily mental prayer. How do we get this, thing going? You know, got to get about your kids, got to get them fed, got a husband, get them off to work. You might have to be getting off to work. How does this thing get done?
Yeah. I've always considered myself to have a very deeply Benedictine spirituality. Right. Now
you don't happen to know the Latin for that, do you?
Pray, yeah, pray and work. Or for me, it should be ora est labora. Yes. Prayer is work. Labora est ora.
That's right.
Which I do think is true. Really, with all sincerity, in the life of the mother, I think that God. I always say to Greg, my husband, that I think that it's a very true sign of the love that God. That our Lord had for his blessed mother, because the corporal and spiritual works of mercy are essentially the resume of motherhood. That's and right. So he has made it possible for us to, we are not contemplative nuns. We are not sisters in a school. We are mothers. And there will be no defect in us if we live out the vocation of our motherhood in a spirit of prayer. It's one of my favorite things about being Catholic is that my work can be my prayer. That is an actual, it's not a false hope. And yes, of course, we set aside a personal moment of quiet reflection or a personal moment of, like I said, you know, we talked about reading the Liturgy of the Hours. That in and of itself is about an hour of your day. If you follow the whole Liturgy of the Hours and you read all of the prayers of the church, in just in human terms, it's going to take you about an hour to read through all of those things. And so, but the beauty of it is that it's not given to you in a 60-minute increment. You don't have to find 60 minutes of time where you can set aside that part of your life and give it to the Lord. He's very, very gracious, and he says, if you give me 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night and, you know, 10 minutes here and there scattered throughout the day, that all of those things will tally up and you will find that you have, you know, covered a great amount of spiritual territory in one day, because the beauty of the Liturgy of the Hours is, and the beauty of the Psalms is that because they are songs, little refrains from those individual verses will play over and over again like a chorus inside of your head. And especially if you can find, and now we can, if you can find some beautiful Dominican nuns singing the Liturgy of the Hours after you read it, and you play that a little bit during the course of the day, and you hear the beautiful music that accompanies these glorious psalms. So I just want to encourage young moms, because I'm kind of I don't sit well, shall we say. I get very antsy in the time, and I'm immediately distracted, and I'm thinking about the next thing that I have to do for, you know, one of the 10 people that I have to, that I've been put in charge of here. So, but the church is gracious, and she gives us these wonders that we can rest in, frankly.
That's right. Right now, our family through the years, have different spiritual practices at different times, but one that we have kept through many decades is that Ted reads a little bit in the morning while we're having breakfast,
right,
with all the kids, even little ones. And so we've read, you know, through scripture, read through the catechism, read through various encyclicals, that sort of thing. And we talk about it while we're eating our breakfast. And then everybody's got a blah, 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 where we're going to be, who's getting who, how's this, right? And then we're out the door for the day. And the text that we have are reading right at the moment is Father Jacques Philippe's Time for God. That man's a spiritual master.
Sure.
He is a spiritual master. And
he's a spiritual master because he is eminently simple.
He speaks
so fluently to the heart of the modern person.
He does. And his books are thin. They don't ask a lot of they're not, but they're not like this.
Oh.
And I should have had it out. They're thin. And you can do like a page and a half, and mm-hmm. really ruminate, because he puts so much, not so much in a dense, over what? No, he's just.
He paints words.
He's a master. He does. He does. And he makes the point. And Sarah fleshed this out as an example with the Liturgy of the Hours, that 5 minutes just isn't going to cut it. He says that's, and I agree with him. And I've heard priests, and they're trying to be very sympathetic to busy moms, busy homes, busy this, busy that. And I get their compassion bent. But 5 minutes is what, in my mind, I compare that to a McDonald's hamburger. Yes, you're not going to be starving after eating hamburger, but you're not going to necessarily be nourished too well either. And Father Philippe recommends 15 as a starting place. And certainly if you're doing morning prayer and then evening prayer, there you got right around 10 minutes, depending on, you know,
how fast you read
and you're meditating, whatever. Rosary is about that same sort of a time frame.
Yes.
And that then you can start to build up. And he said something interesting, and I think, you know, I've been reflecting on it in my own prayer time, is that generally it's that last 5 minutes or so is where you get that spiritual, let's say, insight. Or you be in a euphoria or a glory cloud, or you call it, describe it how you would like to, but that fruitfulness comes towards the end of the exercise, or the mode that you choose to enter into.
Yeah. Jacques Philippe is I would actually recommend him as a, because there are so many great spiritual masters that you could wander through, but he is, I think, particularly good because he condescends to no one. He doesn't speak down to anyone. He doesn't water any type of theology down, but he just has a very apt way of speaking gentle truths to the soul. He's just a real grace for the church at this particular moment, I think, who is in need of clarity, especially in this time of confusion, right? Which I do think that there is a lot of muddying of the waters that's going on right now. But he's very gentle, but very direct. You know, I always tell my kids that with Jacques Philippe's interior freedom, if you just have interior freedom and the Bible, I think that what more do you need? You know, because it's in knowing that you are created as a free being. And being free does not mean licentious. It doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want. You can't choose the evil freely. Somebody suffers. And I always like to remind my kids that that's what Calvary was. It paid the price of everyone's licentiousness. But freedom truly is an authentic call to choose the good, to choose life, because then you will live.
That's right. That's so. Right. That's
Karen,
right.
In the morning then, for instance, what do you find that you actually do? Like, do you write notes? Are you a journaler? Are you a...
Not when we're doing the reading part, not that part. Just me personally?
Yes, just you personally. When you're spending your time and it's just you.
Just me. Well, today I had the inspiration that I had time to get to Daily Mass. So I hustled myself over there, and I do not like skating in at the last minute. I just don't. And then this particular church, I really don't like going to it because they're really chatty. So if I want quiet time, I've got to get there about 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, because I knew I was taping this silly thing, I go, built in, baby. It's built in. I got my 15 without.
That's right. Yeah.
And so there's that. And then I know when I would be picking up, because some of the children went to Catholic grade school, Catholic schools. And so there's the chapel with the Eucharist. Right. And I remember down in Stella Maris, in La Jolla, Southern California, beautiful, beautiful church, beautiful. So I'd go early to go spend some time in adoration. And I'd have a bunch of babies. And so they all go with me. So there they are. They're getting accustomed to being in church in a quiet way. And I would be surprised that there would be no other mothers there. Right. And it would be in my head. It's not like I could go out there and say, hey, gals, you know, why don't you take these few moments and spend them with the Lord and get some clarity before it all, you know, breaks out in the afternoon, before they all hit home.
Right.
And I did the same thing when I was in Rockville. I would go early at carpool and spend those, you know, 5-10 minutes, whatever I could stretch with naps and everything. Mm-hmm. And again, I was kind of shocked at how few people. And here was supposed to be a captive audience. Now, you know, I'm not passing too much judgment there. Yes, I am having some judgment. I acknowledge it.
I don't think that is judgment as much as it is sorrow.
It was sorrow. It was sorrow. I mean,
because you see a good and you would like it to be shared.
That's exactly right. And so now that my youngest one is 17 and she's heading out of the door,
yeah,
I have now, you know, bigger blocks of time that I can devote to adoration. You know, like when I was going through studies and I had a bunch of reading, I love my hour at adoration. We have a chapel here and I go and spend an hour there reading or just perhaps just in quiet prayer. But that, what Father Philippe says is that, you know, for my soul, if I don't have that time of just him and I, now Ted and I, this we've been doing the past few years on the recommendation of my spiritual director. We get up a little early and we have a rosary, just Ted and I, you know, it's beautiful. I mean, Father Philippe talks about our, you know, setting up a prayer space. That's in Schoenstatt. It's just part of a good spiritual, Catholic spirituality that to incorporate candles or a space or icons or whatever it is. That helps to stay once, to stay focused. And so that's what Ted and I do in the morning, early before the day, you know, before this reading thing with the kids. It's just that he and I and our coffee.
This is not important.
This is not fasting.
Exactly. Not like that.
This is happy prayer.
Exactly. Yeah.
And here we go. We start the day. And I don't say you have to do a rosary. No. I'm just sharing what we're doing right now, right?
And obviously this is the fruit of many long years of marriage that is now coming into bloom.
That's right.
All of you young moms, you know, like my word of encouragement at the beginning was to make you aware of the fact that our Lord loves mothers so much that really he calls your whole vocation the prayer of the Christian faithful, right? I mean, that's why there could be no slander to the Blessed Mother when he said, you know, who is my mother, my brother, and my sisters, right? There's no slander to her because he knew perfectly and she knew as well that she was the one who, I mean, it's recorded in scripture that she said, be it done unto me according to thy word. She is the premier disciple, the premier follower.
Do whatever he says.
His will.
Do whatever he says. Yes, so that's right.
When you are feeding the hungry, and when you are clothing the naked, and when you are instructing the ignorant, and you are able to do that and maintain just a spirit of equitability. You know, you don't have to be boisterous and happy, but you should also not be in the depths of despair. When you can just do all of those things with generosity and with moderation within your home, as a young mother, that might be your prayer time. You know, or when you're holding your baby and you you just have that moment of quiet, or 10 minutes before you lay down, while you're laying down and you're falling to sleep, you know, with your children. I can't tell you how many rosaries I have to thank my guardian angel for finishing, because our Blessed Mother, I call it my lullaby, you know, because I'll know that there must be something really severe out there that I need to be praying for, because she will ask me to make it through all 5 decades. But there are some times when she's very, very generous, and I'll fall asleep, you know, with my hand on the cross, because I haven't even made it beyond the creed. So as a young mother, you know, don't feel as though you need to be with your husband praying the rosary in the morning, right? Because that's the fruit. But an Our Father, you know, holding hands, you know, before the day starts, or a quick memorare together, or, you know, just together, a sign of the cross and asking the Lord's blessing upon your home for the day. Those are good things to try and really unite your husband and you to prayer. Something that you do in the morning together, something that you do in the evening together, you know, something small that is sustainable, you know, little steps.
At the risk of this going too long, I'll offer a small thing that Ted and I have been doing these past number of years. We learned it from Greg and Julie Alexander with the Alexander House. They're friends of ours. And it was an exercise we learned on one of the marriage weekends or retreats or something, where the husband says an Our Father and the wife says a Hail Mary. And then they each in turn thanks the other person for the blessing that they were for them that day. And then they go, and then you go, you know, then you close your eyes and you get to sleep.
Right. You close your eyes and you go to sleep.
Yep. Huge, simple, easy to remember. And right. You're doing that. You're not going to bed with harsh words. You're not going to bed with, you know, he did this or she did that. No, you're going with gratitude, love expressed.
Yep.
Huge. Huge. Right. So I offer that too.
That's beautiful. But this is just kind of funny. Many years, because I feel that this is the biggest area of neglect in my own life. You know, I dream of being that person who could just sit for one sustained hour and you know, meditate on the wonders of the Lord. And, but I would always say, Lord, I don't have time. I don't have time. I, you know, where am I going to find this time to pray with you and to be with you? And I found, funny enough, that every morning around 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m., I wake up. So I just want to say that if you can't find the time during the day, the Lord is very gracious and he will find the time.
Be careful what you ask for, so baby.
Him every morning at 3 a.m. when he calls me to prayer. And initially I didn't. but I do now.
I think we're all laughing with you, Sarah, because we all have been there, done that. We love it. All right. Well, my friends, till the next time, Fide Sidracio.